the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Urriu.
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we're back with our continuing coverage, our deep dives into The Traitors Season 2. Brandi, a couple really big episodes that keep getting like better and better, I feel. We get a big cliffhanger at the end of these two. Lots to discuss.
This is what TV should be. I should be this excited. I should be this excited for a show. Like, that's when you know you've really done something.
Absolutely. And I know our guest is equally as excited about these two episodes. We have joining us a former TV BFFs guest. She is a reality TV super fan, big fan of The Traitors. Please welcome Amira Liwali. Welcome back to the show, Amira.
Hi.
Hey, y'all. I am so excited to be back. One, I love y'all's show, but I also love this show. Yes. So I felt especially honored just to be seen as a fan of this show. I was like, oh, I feel seen. I found my people.
Yeah. No, I was like, Amira, I think Amira loves this show. I was like, we need to talk about it with her.
So much. There is no reason why Traitors should be a once a year thing. I think last season it was like over the holidays. I was like, oh, this is like, it's campy. I get it. And this came a little later. There's no reason that it shouldn't come twice a year. Like, one, I think Peacock needs it.
Yeah.
Two, I think we need it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, great. You've won us over. Now give it to us more.
Yeah. I've supplemented my Traitors watching with other versions, other, you know, international franchises. Have you watched the UK or Australia or any of the other ones, or have you been US specific so far?
That's next on my list because I haven't watched the full season, but I feel like, you know, when you're an online watcher, when I know that what happens, I know everything that's happened, but I have not sat down and watched the full season.
Right.
I watched it all through TikTok. I know there's a mother-son duo. I know that there's betrayed love at the end of one of these seasons. And because I saw that, I went back and watched the full TikTok. So I could tell you everything that happened, right. But I have not watched it yet.
So. Got it. I've watched the UK first season. I'm trying to figure out how to watch the second season that I think just finished. And I've heard really good things about Australia. I haven't watched yet, but a lot of people are like, so good.
Australia's always good.
I feel like I want to see Australia just because I need to see Traitors with Jemay's accent. Like, I need that.
Can you imagine Jemay as a character on The Traitors?
Jemay on Traitors. Oh, God, that's a dream.
Shall we jump to our recaps? What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. So the first episode we're discussing is episode 8, Knives at Dawn. Quick catch up. So we come into this and Peter and the Peter pals are coming for Parvati. That we have that torch ceremony. So no one's banished, but a bunch of people are left on the chopping block. So at breakfast the next morning, the people at risk of being murdered are Bergie, Kate, MJ, Trishel. So the first two people in are CT and Sheree, which breaks my trend. Amira, I always clock who walks in first.
That was the first thing I wrote.
I would say 8 times out of 10, it's a traitor that comes in first. So it's always something to watch out for.
I was listening to your past episodes of Traitors, and I was like, oh, he genuinely thinks that they always put it. And I was on your side.
They're pretty close.
Until this episode. And then I was like, maybe they heard you and they mixed it up.
But then again, if not first, always early, because Phaedra and Sandra are in next. So Phaedra's still in there pretty early. It is good to have the traitors in sooner than later so you can track their reaction. So, like, if you're a faithful in future seasons, look who's walking in early. More times than not, those are probably traitors. Just saying. Mm-hmm. What happens at the breakfast table? We have...
Wait. I'm sorry. Did CT pour burning hot water on Sheree?
Yes, she did. Yeah, he did.
She really took that like a champ.
Seriously.
Can I say, though, I think of Traitors as, like, one, I love the show aside, but I love what it does for each of these reality people. Oh, I love that they kicked the normal people out. I love that they kicked the normal people out of the show, and now it's just our favorite reality stars. It gives you a completely different side of all these reality people. I learned, and I hate saying this, I learned that Sheree is just as dumb as Kevin. And I think Atlanta Housewives hid that from us for 20 years. Sheree is not bright. And I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought she was a little off. I did not know that she was not smart.
Speaking of Sheree being not so bright, Kevin also still doesn't know how to pronounce Parvati correctly. He keeps saying poverty. Like, we live in poverty. Like,
yeah.
buddy, you know, like, He's not smart, but he is entertaining. I have come around on Kevin. Like, I do giggle when he's on screen more often than not.
Yeah.
Than I used to.
You see, that's the only thing that we missed the show. What is really happening between the hours? Because they all the Bravo girlies were like, that man sucks. Yeah. And we know the men that they mess with usually. We know the men they have around usually. But him, they all were like, ugh.
Yeah. And there's a lot of time that's not. And some of this will come up later, but I am a psycho when I listen to every cast member on any podcast I can get my hands on. So I've started listening to Tamara's podcast.
Oh my God, Two Peas in a Pod?
Two Teas in a Pod.
I can't listen to it because I don't like Teddy.
I hate Teddy.
I don't like Teddy.
Teddy's never on it. It's been Tamara and Janelle recapping. And then this last one she brought, like Bergie was a guest at some point. Dan was a guest recently. Anyway, the vibe is there's a lot going on that is not being shown. Mm-hmm. And I think Parvati said, and this is a great way to think about it, this show is a show first and a game second, whereas Survivor, Big Brother, they're games first, and then the show is filming the game. Like, this is very much a show first. I think it's always important to keep in mind. And what makes Traitors stand out and make it kind of unique in this space, too.
But that's also why the Bravo girlies are running circles around them. Mm-hmm. Because Dan and them thought, oh, they're so stupid. No, they're smarter than you. They know what this is. That's why they beat y'all.
Except for Sheree.
Oh, okay. I forgot. I'm leaving her out. Yeah. She's just hanging tight.
I got to say, a lot of respect for MJ in these couple episodes, though. MJ's really been turning around for me and really showing some like strategy, some smarts, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
I love the way she's playing the game. And it comes up in a, not this episode, we'll talk about it next. We'll discuss the next episode. But like, she peeps things, but then she's quiet. She don't play like Pilot Pete, who just has to tell everyone everything.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
She'll give you one line to let you know that she knows and then moves on. Yeah. So at least you don't kill her.
Speaking of Pilot Pete, well, first, so Parvati comes in, no one's surprised. I noticed Parvati comes in, no headband for maybe the first time. It was almost like a visual signal, like she's used up all her juice. She's running on fumes. She doesn't even have her headbands on anymore, you know?
I didn't notice that. But also, that was a very strong choice for her. Like, you're talking about, it's so funny. She comes on a show that's more about personality than being like out in the wilderness with no food. And she's like, my thing will be headbands. Like, what?
She was really, she had on a super cute outfit with no headband, though. Like, those boots were a dream.
Yeah. She's turning some good looks. Like,
yeah.
And then we find out that Bergie's murdered. So the Peter mini me is gone. Bergie gets murdered. Not a big surprise. John raises a toast. And then we get classic Phaedra like breakfast moments, like, ooh, that tea was really good. And where's the cream cheese and preserves? Like, and I think it finally comes up later on again in the next episode. But like, people start noticing Phaedra is really chill at breakfast, guys. She's very chill at breakfast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she eats. I love it. She does not care who died. She's like, what is this on this buffet? Yeah. And honestly, as a nosy person, I like knowing what they're feeding them.
Yes.
So, and I can always count on her to telling us.
I love this show's, and I was going to bring this up later, but we're kind of on it now. I love this show's fearlessness of showing mealtime. Mm-hmm. Like, that's never shown. And like, as a producer, I'm like, we never film. You're not supposed to film when you're like during meal break. Like, what? It's weird. Everyone's eating and chewing. And I think maybe the players realize that because they've all been on TV before. Oh, they don't film us, or they're not going to use this. If we're eating, let's talk strategy. And Traitors is like, sorry.
Well, the housewives eating out is that's a whole subculture in a housewife show.
That's their moment.
And like, what are we ordering? What are we doing? Like, but I feel like on the housewives, you always get to see what they order. And then like, they're all anorexic and on Ozempic. So like, the food never gets eaten.
Right.
But they are always at restaurants and always ordering the same piece of fish.
Yeah.
But you're right about the food. They made a big point in macaroni. Like, Trishelle kept talking. I was like, why do I know that Trishelle can't have milk? Like, what is that? What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, she's in the lactose intolerance squad.
Yeah.
Wait, can I just say the amount of times I have written down just from, as I was just going through my notes, for all episodes, Trishelle, shut the fuck up.
Oh my God, Sam, I'm a Trishelle hater.
You're a hater?
Yes, but look, I've hated her since she didn't have a chance in this show.
No.
With me. And then how hard she came in the first episode just to be loud and wrong, not really realizing it was just like a person. Like, she didn't understand what Peppermint was saying.
Right. Yeah.
So it was just like a disconnect there. And I was like, she's still loud and wrong. And this is a show that I will give people chances. Like, I liked Kyle from Summer House in season one. You can win me over in this show.
Larsa.
And I was like, Oh, I have.
Yeah.
That's another thing to talk about. The rudest thing about Larsa is how she stuffs that man down our throats.
Yeah.
That man's son, Michael Jordan's son, does not belong on TV. Like, when I saw the cast, I was visibly upset. We had, like, it was such a good mix.
I want to bring you back around to Trishelle. Mm-hmm. I agree. Earlier in the season was put off, and I was kind of on the same page as you, Brandy. But these last couple episodes, I've kind of turned back around, and I hate to say it, but I'm a Trishelle fan.
Ooh.
I think she's loud and right, and I think she's playing a pretty good game. Is she convincing enough to other people? Maybe not, but I feel like she's kind of getting there, and it kind of starts here where she starts trying to convince after breakfast. We're kind of around the castle now, and she starts trying to convince Peter, and all of her reasons are pretty spot on, right? Phaedra is smart. She's savvy. She's never worried. Dan called her out at a very key time, and that has to have been a signal. Like, she's picking up a lot of pieces, and I'm kind of appreciating it.
I mean, listen, I was like, it's not Trishelle just completely, like, checking Dan's MO.
Yeah.
Like, she just completely laid it all out. I was just like, God damn it, Trishelle.
That's correct.
Yes, yeah. You are right, but you're just wrong to me. but you're right about the
Trishelle. I think that's a difference in what you and I care about the game, Dan. I will root for the traitors. I don't care if all the faithfuls go home. Yeah. And that's why I can't tell. Are we supposed to root for the faithfuls?
I don't know. So let's talk about this.
I've never rooted for a faithful.
Because it's tough. Because the UK version, it ended differently. I don't kind of want to spoil it, but do you mind?
I love a spoiler.
Okay,
oh my
spoiler
God.
For UK.
The spoiler alert.
The faithfuls win, and it is thrilling. Like,
really?
It was such a rush, and I was rooting for him at the end. And I'm kind of starting to get that vibe now, because you're right. Like, especially, I love Parvati. So it was when Parvati was in the mix, and Phaedra, I didn't really know going into the show, really won me over pretty instantly. So I'm like, okay, with those two,
yeah,
let's root for the traitors. But now, like, I can't see Phaedra making it to the end. She's too hot on too many people. She's just not going to make it. I think I'm rooting for the faithfuls moving forward.
Okay. Last season, season one, clearly, I only care about the traitors. Like, Sari's my golden star.
Yeah.
She teaches people how to play games. So it was very easy that season. This season, I think we can be honest with you, it's a game full of people on reality TV. How much money are they playing for? Like, I don't care if you're going to split 30. That is what you're going to pay your agent. Like, that is great.
Right. So if the money's meaningless, then why not root for the faithfuls, though? Is what I'm just, you know?
I like mess. I am a duchess of deception and a mistress of murder.
I'm telling you, though, I think you're underestimating the mess of that final ceremony where they're like, you know what? We're keeping the game going. We think there's one more traitor. Let's get them right now in this final moment. It's a high level mess if they pull it off right. But anyway, back to the episode. Peter approaches Parvati. And we have MJ kind of listening from the hall, just kind of sneaking, which I love.
Such a good moment.
MJ, like, twittering.
Yeah.
Just, like, creeping.
Kate, with a great read on Parvati, she's like, listen, I've done Bikram yoga. It's the hot one, and it's miserable. And Parvati's a yoga teacher, and they can convince you to stay in hell. We need to be careful. Like, and I was like, that's a pretty good fucking read, actually.
It really was.
So good.
We go to the mission. This mission, I really did not like, for several reasons. The biggest one, though.
Wait, I was surprised that, like, they don't do more. I feel like every traitor's mission should be, like, in an escape room.
Yeah. I mean, the setup of the mission itself was fine. Mm-hmm. The big problem was, who the fuck is Dr. Will? And why the fuck do we care? So get this man off of my television.
I felt like, I'm like, am I the only person?
Wait, that likes
who doesn't
him?
Know who doesn't know who he
no,
is?
No, you like, know who else didn't know him? The whole cast.
The whole cast.
The whole cast. Dan, I'm so happy you said that because that's been pissing me off. Dr. Will is a reality TV hater. And I know I love Big Brother. I watched him. I did think he was an anchor of that show. He will not come back. Fine. Leave us alone.
Right.
Leave us alone. For them to bring him back like a cameo, like any of the people on that cast knew who he was, they had to force Parv to say, I've heard. Yeah, you've heard from the producers. And then Sandra was like, I know Dr. Will. You know him because y'all were both on CBS for 20 years. You saw him at a holiday party.
Right.
You don't know him.
Exactly.
I would where's Alan? Was Alan sick?
No, because, and this is the worst part. So it's not like Alan wasn't there and he had to like take over. Alan was just at the other end of the fucking tunnel, you know? And then Dr. Will, like, he didn't do anything except drop bugs in from the chimney, I guess. And then at the very end, he's like, I have a lot of cleaning up to do. Cut. That was it. I'm like, what purpose did you serve? Like, is this your tryout to host one of these? Because you failed miserably. It was terrible.
And it's like, he also showed that, like, only Alan can pull off those looks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, it was terrible.
The worst moment of the season so far was that Dr. Will final mm-hmm. line. I'm like, what are we doing?
It's anyway. Like, I'm on this crazy campy ride with you. I'm here. Yeah. I'm sold. Like, I'm sold. Mm-hmm. We're in this castle, we're on the turret. I'm down with the hoods. Mm-hmm. Dr. Will was a step too far.
Step
I can't
far.
Go there. You
step
know?
Too far.
It's like,
anyway, highlights of this mission, because it was interesting, I guess. And it was kind of, I liked the conception of it. It's basically a mini escape room. And then they find under like the tablecloth the instructions. And it's like, all right, you need to exit through the tunnels. On the way through these tunnels, there's going to be gold. There's going to be a shield. Everyone needs to get out in 30 minutes. If you don't get out, people who quit lose $1,000. And meanwhile, there's this lights gimmick where when you turn the lights on for the tunnel in the cabin lights go off and vice versa. So only half the house has lights at any given time. And then on top of it, they're throwing bugs in some sort of, I think, animal urine, it
yeah.
seemed like, into the house and into the tunnels to make everyone gross and weird.
I was really happy to see Trishel covered in bugs. I was like, all right, like, I can, this is good. This is good. I don't care what happens after this.
Yeah. But then she also got a shield. Trishel also got a shield.
Trishel got a shield. That's what I wrote. As soon as I saw her going for it, I was just like, and then Peter being like, don't tell anybody you got it. And I just want to be like, Peter, I am still attracted to you. And I want to put you in the face.
That is actually, that's the strongest mark against Trishel for me, is because I can't stand Peter, and they work so close together. So like, that is the mark against her. If there was no Peter Trishel connection, I think it'd be free and clear. We'd like Trishel a lot more. But anyway.
Peter gets annoying, but when he was first starting, I was like, you know what? Everything you spit is right. Like, and I think his biggest issue is like, is basically what Phaedra talks about. Like, she's Miss Congeniality. You're not liked in the way you do this. His five people faithfuls, they were all faithfuls. So you were correct.
Got him. Mm-hmm. Right.
But the way you annihilate, like, exile everyone else is just not a smart move.
No.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's a little bit in the edit as well, going back to that, the Tamra podcast, and she had Dan on, and they were both like, he's getting a tough edit, because in the castle, he didn't seem as holier than thou as he's aww. Coming across. Mm-hmm. So, like,
okay,
might be getting a bit of a tough edit, you know, putting Pilot Pete on blast a little bit, which I mean, it's good television. I really don't mind it. You know,
listen, it's working. I'm so over him.
Yeah, it's really working. A couple other quick highlights. I loved that you had to scream haggis to jump out of the house, and all the Bravo girlies.
The Bravo girlies. Sheree was over it, guys. Sheree, like, did not sign up for this.
No.
Sheree and MJ, like, no.
Phaedra, too. They were all freaking the fuck out.
Honestly, they lasted longer than I thought. The fact that they put our Bravo girlies in Fear Factor, this is the mission where I was like, the producers don't care about the game. They do it for us.
Yes.
They knew we wanted to see them dirty. We wanted to see them with pee on them. And for that, they win the year. I said, wow. They make them run miles? Right. They make the Bravo girls run through. The only person I feel bad for is John. John fell very early on the season. I said, there's no EMT. This man is older and he fell in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, they give us these things. Like, they know it. Who cares if they win little gold things?
Yeah. Speaking of little gold coins, they only win $11,000, which I'm like, is that a successful mission or not? You never really know. Back at the castle, we get a big Parvati and John, speaking of John, moment. John has now been cemented as he is the faithful of all faithfuls. He is, it sounds like, and we hear this later in the next episode, like, he is very convincing, I guess. He does way more talking than we've been privy to. Another podcast little insight is like, oh yeah, John will talk for 15 minutes straight. Like, every round table. Like, that man is verbose.
It gives politician, though. It makes sense.
His politicianness, like, comes out. Like, yeah. Like, okay, so that's what you do.
Yeah. And you could see a little bit here. So like Parvati
turned it on. I was like, I feel like I haven't really seen her turn it on like that. And I was like, okay, so, okay.
That is when I finally felt like I saw Survivor Parvati. Because mm-hmm. what that girl is known for is tricking men.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Whether it's with tears or flirting, she knows how. She can change everything through. Like that was her light. And like mm-hmm. there's a lot of things you can others say about her game, but she just knew it. So when I saw that, I said, oh no, not John. Not, I was like, is he eating this up? Cause I was like, she knew who to go to.
Yeah.
She pulled it. I said, oh, you're back on the island. That is who I am seeing. Cause I haven't mm-hmm. seen that side of her the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is what I think Phaedra was like, when Phaedra calls Parv out. Parv is always a popular girl on the island. So I was mm-hmm. like, what happened? Is it when you're fed well and you drink water, charm just goes away? Because she was that person. She can captivate a room. And I haven't seen her do that until now.
Well, I think she talks about it in this conversation with John. And Parvati was also on the Johnny Bananas podcast this past week and talked about it a little bit as well. And it sounds like she was really thrown off becoming a traitor in the way that she was and as early as she was. She was like, I'd feel like if I had a little bit more time, was maybe recruited later, I could have been myself for a little bit longer, established a little bit of foundation in the game. But getting recruited like that, I felt like I was playing from behind because I wasn't a traitor from the get. And then I'm also like, I'm just in my head and I'm overthinking everything. And is this what a traitor would do? And you could really see that. And that, and I think she defaulted to Stone Cold's Ice Princess that Phaedra called out. And I think in these tears she mentioned were real tears, maybe not specifically like, obviously it was a good moment to have tears, but she was also like, it was a very much a culmination moment of like, I just felt incredibly stressed and had a lot of emotions bubbling. And this is when they came out. And it seemed like it was a tougher road for her. And she was in targets much earlier than we saw on the show as well.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Back to Phaedra commenting on food. Love it.
Oh, I was like, I wrote down, okay, Phaedra, stop snacking.
Pork belly this time.
Like, let her eat. I just love it. Like, it's such an interesting, for that to be like, such a small thing. And I think that's what a true reality warrior is. It can make a very small moment a part of your personality that we're all talking about.
Yeah.
And then we have Trishel going hard for Phaedra still. And this is when I see where you guys are coming from. Cause I'm like, all right, stop talking about your fucking notebook. Please, Trishel, stop talking about your notes. Like, yes, I did think it was Parvati. And then I reread my notes. I'm like, okay, you need a better line than that.
What notes? The same notes that told you to take out peppermint?
Yeah.
Because she'll never be forgiven. Okay. Like, I look at Trishel and I just see her KKK hood. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little in there. It's a little in there. And okay, my thing with Trishel is, Dan did what he did, and I don't understand his approach, because if he wanted to go with a traitor, I think he should have went for Parv, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Why wouldn't she just get out the easy Parv and then turn? I think it's weird at halfway through killing one to go for another one. It just makes it seem like you have a vendetta, like you have to go through this woman that you don't understand when you have a history of not understanding. So, like, why does this have to be the moment? And her explanation last episode was like, the guys aren't listening to me. And I was like, yeah, but I wouldn't listen to you either.
Yeah. I mean, I will stick up for one more time, which is much harder after discussing her KKK hood, I must say. But
it's there. It's there. It's right. She bleaches it sometimes. Sorry, it's, Dan. It's there.
But I will say, to answer your question, why go for Phaedra instead of Parvati here? I don't know if it was Trishel who said this or just someone in that group, but there is something to keeping a known traitor until the very end. To that final ceremony where you can say, okay, I'm solid that Parvati is a traitor. So let's do that last banishment, get her out at the 11th hour and take home the game for the faithful. So like, it's a keep your enemies closer type thing. It's a known quantity. You know, she's a traitor. You can get her out at any time. So if you can get the momentum, you can get the support on Phaedra now, especially when she has a tight group around her. If you miss, it might be she'll be more insulated and harder to get later down the line. So I see the strategy there.
You just gave her like so much credit, Dan. That sounded so smart. And I don't think that was in her notebook.
Honestly, put me on the traitors. I would love to fucking play this game. And then we get to the faithful roundtable. The song hits, Follow Me Down Into the Valley Night.
Knowing that they actually do listen to the Hunger Games song, like, just makes that scene hit so much harder for me.
It truly does.
Is it as scary. That song is dark.
It is dark.
Yeah, it's really dark.
It's a mood setter. They're putting it in a mindset for sure.
That is. Oh, I love that. I learned that from y'all's podcast that they listened to the Hunger Games song, and I was like, that is who is fucking with their heads.
Yeah,
like that is a dark song.
There's some great producing in action, including Alan's script, because this is a line that he literally said, round and round the round table the ragged rascal ran. That's an Alan Cumming quote, lifted directly from this episode.
Campy!
We get to the round table. Parvati takes a deep breath. She talks about kind of what she talked about with John. I become a brick wall. Trishelle turning up the heat on Phaedra again, talks about her breakfast non-reactions. Phaedra hits back with, I'm not frantic like you are, Trishelle.
I love that line.
Phaedra's reads like, oh, so good.
She reads, though, like a housewife. But also, that dig has so many layers to it. Because one, she was saying, I just move differently than you. But also, she puts you down. You're a frantic ass bitch. What? And the thing is, you know that Phaedra has thought that girl is frantic since day one. She's been holding it in.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, all the housewives have been like, why is she so jumpy? Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
It's a good top tier read.
Yeah. We haven't talked about this. Trishelle mentioned it earlier, and then Kevin kind of claims it at the round table, talking about Phaedra's eye twitch. Mm. Every time gameplay comes up, your eye starts twitching, which I don't know, like, I can kind of see it because once they said it, I did start noticing it, but I'm like, I don't know if that's really a tell.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Maybe it is. I don't watch enough Housewives, though. What do you guys think?
Because it came from Kevin, I'm automatically discounting it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even though you're right, like, I did kind of start to notice it.
Okay, so here's the thing. I noticed it earlier in the season before they brought it up. I was talking to my sister about it. I was like, she has an eye twitch, but I don't remember she had it in Housewives when she used to read people. But I did notice it, but I also thought it was just a quirk. Like, I think Ian's a quirk. Her eye twitch, like, I never know when she's playing. Like, again, like, the Housewives knew this was a character game. So I was like, I don't know if this is created. I thought it was hilarious. And also, I said, Kevin, you set yourself up to get eaten up. If you think you can come for someone with their twerks, like physical quirks, and not, I said, she's going to kill you. You're going to die. That is so rude. Yeah. But I did notice it. They weren't wrong. I thought they were wrong to automatically link something physical like that to being a traitor. I thought it was very dangerous of them to link a physical quirk.
Yeah. Especially if you watch Phaedra, and we're getting it more in the interviews, but her face is incredibly expressive. She's making faces left, right, and center. So I'm like, I don't even know if that's really a tell or just kind of Phaedra doing her thing.
Yeah.
Couple more moments here. CTS John, what he's thinking. Again, signaling like John is like the real decision maker here in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And John's best moment so far. Parvati could well be a Duchess of Deception and a Mistress of Murder. And I'm like, that's the line of the season, John.
Yeah,
like, you did it. Well done.
Yeah.
And Parvati on the Bananas Pod, she's like, yeah, I'm fucking making merch. Like, I'm leaning in. That was great.
She should.
Duchess of Deception.
But also, Parv's face when she realized he didn't believe her.
Yeah.
I think that was the realest moment I've ever seen of her. She was like,
oh, fuck.
Frozen. What? Yeah. It came from nowhere.
Yeah.
John is brilliant.
You could see she knew that, like, I'm about to be banished.
Yeah.
Like, that's what's about to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we get to the vote. Phaedra gets 4 votes from Peter, Parvati, Kevin, and Trishelle. And Parvati gets 7 votes from MJ, Phaedra, Sandra, John, Sheree, CT, and Kate. Parvati is banished. I really enjoyed her speech. This was like tribal council Parvati, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which I really loved and like got people going. Like, I've been doing radical honesty and I wanted to play this game as a faithful. I came here to play as a faithful. I'm not a faithful, I'm a traitor. And everyone was like, oh, fuck, were we wrong? Were we wrong? Okay, we got her. We got her. I was like, nice. Well played. Good last moment.
Yeah.
Her speech confused me because I have not followed Parv on like social after Survivor. So I was like, what are you talking about, Radical? What happened? I didn't know that she was on this journey of truth. And that's where I feel like we didn't get Parv's character. Like, where was your personal arc coming? What was your personal strategy coming to this? Like,
right.
You should have told me you're a yogi. You don't believe in lying anymore. And that's why this show is hard for you. I would be like, I get it. You're really struggling.
Yeah.
This is what we should have gotten when they recruited her. When we get her, when we get her interview in the chair, and she's deciding like, okay, am I going to take this? Then we need to see like, I have been not lying for the past 3 years.
Yes.
Now I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know, that gets me on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
After the banishment, we are around the castle. The tide is now turning on Peter because he was sticking up for Parv. Kevin still can't say Parvati right. Hilarious. Still can't do it. Peter and Kate chat, and Kate has a really good line here where she's like, he's a traitor to the faithfuls because he lied. So he could still be a faithful, but he's a traitor to us faithfuls because he lied. I'm like, good distinction, and that will help you in the future of this game. And then in the turret, Phaedra's solo, Alan comes in, another, as per the rules, in this place, thou shalt not suffer a traitor to live alone. I'm like, okay, what rules? Again, show me the rule book.
Can I get the rule book on Amazon?
Show us the book.
Does not exist.
Release the rule book, you cowards. Also, I noticed this. Why is Phaedra always the only one who whispers in the turret? Everybody else speaks normally, and Phaedra is constantly whispering. And she's the only one.
I mean, I think her voice is little more than a whispering drawl.
That's true. You know? That, you know what? I did not think about that. Even when she reads on Housewives, it's a saucy, sultry, southern whisper.
Yeah. I think that's just her voice.
Phaedra does not yell. Like, she doesn't even talk at room temp.
No.
Like,
she does not. So Alan is like, it's time to recruit. Instantly chooses Kate. Like, there's no real deliberation. She's like, it's going to be Kate. She's direct. She can do and say the things I can't do. And then the big cliffhanger is Kate goes down to the dungeon because this time you have to ask in person. And if they reject it, then they're getting murdered on the spot. So Kate's in the dungeon, just doing her absolute best to make this tense episode ending moment just an absolute, like, moment for comedy. Like, these are two tones that aren't quite matching, but I'm loving it. She's like, Fergus, will you bring me champagne? What have I done wrong? Like, and it's like going against a super intense edit and music. I'm like, this is kind of genius, and I love it.
So good.
Episode 8 ends with, will she or won't she take it? I think it's pretty clear she's obviously going to take it. Yeah. Episode 9 starts. We're in the dungeon. She accepts, and here are her reasons. I do love a dramatic cloak. I do love a VIP club, and I do love knowing secrets. I'm like, it's a great list.
It's a good list. But also, they're going to kill you. Like, they didn't really give her a choice.
Right, exactly.
But wait, guys, can we just, like, I was excited that she picked Kate, because I think Kate will make a great traitor. Mm-hmm. But, like, did this show, like, a flaw in Phaedra's gameplay? Because should she have chosen one of the Peter pals? Like, should she have gone for a Trishel? Or, but I don't, Peter's damaged. You can't go for him.
CT.
Or CT, yeah.
CT would have been the move.
CT would have been good. I didn't even think about that.
Especially because we see later, CT is kind of riding the line of both alliances. I think CT would have been a really good call. Although I will say, Parvati also mentioned on the Bananas pod. It's the last time I'll mention the pod, I swear.
It's your favorite pod after this one.
I know. Brendan, if you're listening, it's the last mention of the Bananas pod. Parvati also said she would have chosen Kate as well, that they kind of all thought that Kate was the best option as a late game traitor if she had the option.
Really?
I think it's the chaos of it all.
She's chaotic, but Kate is, like, nervous. Yeah. Like, Kate does well because she wasn't a traitor. Like, right. So I think her power was being able to just be, like, not feeling bad about being in your face. Everything she says, she believes. So I don't know. I haven't seen Kate lie. She doesn't lie. That was even her thing on that boat show. Like, she just don't lie. So I didn't even think about CT. I thought Trishel would have been a good pick because no matter what, you get a number away from, like, you wanted to kill her anyways.
Yeah. I thought, like, I felt Trishel, and then I was thinking CT, but, like, I feel like Trishel, it would have just really thrown Trishel for a loop, and I think she would have been a terrible traitor.
She would have crumbled, for sure.
Yeah, but she would have left.
Yeah. But I feel like that would have kept me as Phaedra. That keeps me in the game. Like, I need to pick a traitor who is going to be easily sussed out. I don't know if Kate's going to be as easily sussed out.
So in this episode, there's a couple instances of the song dropping that sounds like the Round Table song, but the lyrics are slightly different, which I'm really living for.
You love that song. I barely noticed really it until you do. You love that song. I'm gonna go pay attention to it now.
It's such a vibe setter. And then the lyrics are always so overly specific. Like the lyrics when this episode starts is, "When the darkness falls, I come alive. Welcome to your nightmare."
Oh my God.
I wrote down that this cold open was so over the top. And yeah. All I could think when I was watching it was like, how many takes?
I have not. You've sold me. I'm going to go back. I've been missing out. Okay.
It's really good.
Kate accepts. We go back to the turret. It's time for a murder.
I'm sorry. The funniest moment here was when Kate was like, "You don't have a plan? You brought me here. You don't have a plan?"
Yes. Literally, Phaedra to Kate, "What is our strategy?" Kate, "You have no plan." What the hell? But also, that's kind of why Phaedra has been so effective, like letting other people do the dirty work, keeping her hands clean, being reactionary as she can be.
Which is very Housewives. That's her exact angle in Atlanta Housewives. She always, until the very end where she blew up, all her drama, she put on other people. She was very Lisa Vanderpump that way. So,
couple great moments here in the turret. The dramatic bureau comes back, Brandy. And not only that, we see Peter, as who Kate says, Peter puts the dick in dictator. And then we see him lifting weights, shirtless, in front of a mirror.
They did him wrong. They did him so wrong with the stylized bureau. I was like, I know that he doesn't really do that. I know that they're like, "You know what, Peter? Like, this is what we need you to do right now. We're going to do a few takes of this."
Yeah, exactly.
I love that. Like, I just, it's so campy and it only works for this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you put it in another show, we would all get in trouble for making it corny. Like, if we produced this for a different show that wasn't set like this, they'd be like, "That doesn't work." So.
I'm not sure you can show Pilot Pete lifting weights shirtless in front of a mirror on The Bachelor
and
have it work. And yet, it works here. After they kind of talk about Pete, but then Phaedra's worried he might have a shield. So instead, they bring up Kevin and Trishelle. And those are the kind of the two names that are on the block. Next morning, back at breakfast, the first two in, Sandra and Kate. We're back.
You're back.
We're back.
Okay. But guys, were you like, I was legit nervous at this breakfast, because I was like, oh, I was like, if they kill Trishelle, Phaedra's out. And I was like, because by this time, I'm already starting to like see the writings on the wall for Phaedra. But it's like, I need her to last a little longer.
And Trishelle has a shield, remember?
I know. That's why I was like, if they murder Trishelle, like we're done.
Yeah, it would have been bad.
Yeah.
I was more nervous for Kate, though.
Kate, I was just going to say, Kate having a hard time adjusting. She's like, "I've been a traitor 5 minutes. I murdered somebody. I'm at breakfast for the first time." And she is in over her head. And then MJ comes in and reads her instantly.
Immediately.
I'm like,
clocks.
Yeah.
Holy shit, MJ. Like,
the only thing that saved Kate was that they actually killed someone. Because they think that when there's no kill, they recruit someone. I feel like it would have been a bigger moment if no one died.
Right.
Like MJ clocking that. And it saved her.
The way she clocked her, she's literally like, the light in Kate's face is not totally there. Out loud to the breakfast. This wasn't an interview. This was to the table.
Yeah.
Like, and then I don't know if you guys watched the postmortem, like the 10 minute after the episode where they just basically they like talk to the people who were banished or murdered and you get a little bit extra. And Kate is 10 out of 10 in these postmortems. I'm like, thank God there's a spot to put all of her incredible interview lines that don't make the edit, because she is shining in the postmortem. And in this moment, she's like, "Yeah, I damn near fucking shit my pants." When MJ started calling me out.
What I loved about that moment, though, for both MJ and for Kate, was that I really felt like, oh, wow, like it. I hadn't really thought about like the psychological impacts on somebody to have to play that role, especially if it's like, you know, you're not like, as much as reality TV, we say that they're acting, like they're not actors.
Right.
No.
You know what I mean? They're just like very over the top personalities that can kind of perform on cue, which is different.
Like Parvati said, performers, not actors.
Yeah. And like, I really thought, it was like, oh yeah, that would be, I hadn't really thought of myself like in the context of the show. And it's like, oh, that is kind of hard to like have to like pretend that you're like, if you're a traitor, it's hard. If like you're not like literally like a pathological liar.
Yeah.
Like Phaedra.
Trishelle walks in. They didn't go for her. Kevin is murdered. And now I need to, my friend Caroline is a big fan of the show. She texted me. I'm like, I need to use this line on the podcast. I will give you credit for it. She goes, "Kevin deserved to be murdered for the red and black floral shirt and the distressed and ripped jeans outfit."
Guys, what was that? What was that? Literally, I'd like, because it, like, it was hard for me to take in Because I'm like, first I'm seeing the ripped knee in the jeans. And then I'm like, wait, what is this? We're going black on black. And then wait, is that, are those roses? Are those giant red roses?
You know what? Justice for the cast of Blade Empire for everything bad I said about them. Because they were correct and they just fooled me on that show. He is wild.
He asked if he could keep the letter, guys.
I was going to say, and not Bright. This is a direct quote. With the highs does come the lows, and sometimes a murder letter. Do I get to keep this?
Yeah. Also, like, what did John just said, God bless him. That should tell you how annoying that man was in that house. That John didn't even give you, like, a proper, like, they wanted John to toast him, and he just said, God bless him.
And then they all laughed, like, oh my God, you only had three words for this kid? Yeah.
Yes.
They all laughed at him, like, John, shorter than normal. All right.
Yeah. Also, that his portrait, like, I mean, I love all their portraits, and I just, like, I want to do a photo shoot where I'm just getting, like, Trader's portraits of myself made.
Yeah.
It was just, like, it was really giving Blue Steel in a way that I haven't seen in a while, and I was loving it.
So, Kevin is banished.
Oh, can we talk about how, like, I feel like Peter was getting a lot of hate at breakfast, and I was here for it. I was like, okay, so we're starting. I could see the tide turning. And I'm like, yes, guys, this is what I need.
Well, there was one moment where he cozies up to Phaedra, and he's like, are we good? Let's work together. Who do you think is getting banished? And everyone gives him side eye, like, what are you doing talking to, again, known traitors? This is it's his MO now. Yeah. He tries to get close to known traitors right before they're on their way out. It's very strange.
Yeah. He plays the game too hard and too loud. Like, people shouldn't be able to peep that you are saving a traitor to the end so that you can get them out to get closer to money. Like, it feels like betrayal to everyone else. And I know everyone's secretly playing the game, but why does everyone know that? Now you're just annoying.
Yeah.
And, like, he started off, like, as the, like, he knew. And I was like, oh, he's smart. Him and Barry, da-da-da.
I was impressed. I was impressed with his first shield move.
Now you play a little too hard.
He's giving, like, theater actor, like, fast and loud and projection. And he needs to be screen actor, like, subtle and small.
Yeah.
And in the camera, you know?
Yeah.
Let the light do it for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Let the light do its thing. So we're around the castle, and things now are getting really interesting, and it's getting really, like, challenge, survivor, numbers game. There's 9 people left, the 3 Peter pals that are left over, Peter, John, and Trishel, versus the 4 Bravo girlies, and they're like, CT and Sandra, maybe the swings.
I did start to feel bad for Peter when Sheree was going in on him in her interview. Like, and she was talking about, like, well, oh, maybe it is Peter. And I was like, oh, I feel bad for Peter, because, like, now Sheree thinks it's him.
Even Sheree.
Even Sheree. Sheree's putting it together.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
At this point, we have CT. I really respect CT in this moment, because Peter's like, who are you leaning towards? And CT's just like, you, dude. I'm leaning towards you, because
Peter looked shocked.
Yeah.
He was like, I was like, wow, that was a real reaction.
Yeah. He looked shocked and he looked sad. And that's what I was going to say. That was the only moment I was like, I started to feel bad for him, because I think he was legit hurt. That CT said, like, his feelings were in it, like, real life. And I was like, oh, you don't know how you're coming off.
And this is the difference between a gamer and a bachelor, is like, CT clocks these things. He's clocking when you're being inconsistent, and Peter's just like, inconsistency is my game. I go fast and hard and loose. And it's like, that's not a game plan, bro. is not a plan. I'm sorry, but no. And then we get to the mission. I really enjoyed this mission. A lot of them are bullshit or just pure camp and fun, like the last one. This one, though, it had that, you know, Amira, where it's like the survivor challenge where you need to, like, they ask questions about each other, and if you get it right, you get to, like, chop their rope.
Yeah.
And the first person to get 3 chops, you know, their little totem is crashed. So you get to see who's riding for who and where the real alliances are.
Yeah, they have to draw lines.
This kind of had that vibe. So the challenge here is they go to the church. Excellent Alan entrance. Everyone in creepy hoods.
Wait, can I add something, though, that I feel like they could have had in the church? When we get the shot of, like, the stained glass, like, saint, right? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't that Alan? Like, and just like the painting, when they come into breakfast, there's, like, that painting in there of him as a king. Like, why didn't we have that stained glass of Alan? I need that next time. Saint coming.
Great call. Incredible call. Saint coming. Yeah. So the challenge is, there's 9 people left. So it's a nice little grid. Everyone has their name on a stained glass window. And the idea is there's $25,000 at stake. And they shoot a crossbow at the names, trying to smash them all. And the last person remaining will get a shield. And along the way, if they miss a shot, they lose $250. So quick math, they can miss literally 100 times. They missed a lot throughout the challenge. They missed a fuckload. So in the first round...
Well, can we just talk about the crossbow of it all? Because I also kind of love this challenge. And I need to see this in person. Because like looking at it from TV, I'm like, why is this so hard? It looks like you've got a scope. Yeah. It looks like it's not like that heavy. And the panes, like, they look pretty big. Like, I'm like, how do they keep... But like every single time it was like going like so far off. And I'm like... Like, I'm not understanding the mechanics of this because it feels like you guys shouldn't be missing them like this.
I think the panes were smaller than they appeared.
Okay.
Like, when the bolts hit the pane, I'm like, oh, that window's not as big as I thought it was. So maybe they were smaller. I don't know how far away they really were with the angles that they were using.
Yeah, they were really playing with the perception for us here. So I was like, even though I did like the challenge, I was confused at why it was so hard for them.
Like the challenge, but I definitely think they were lying. But like, it made it look like they were doing it for a long time. I think they were doing it for like triple the amount of time. Alan was like, I've been here all day. He was complaining. Yeah. Like, they did. It must have taken them hours to hit one thing.
Yeah.
Like, if even CT, whose literally most job is to play these stupid games, was like, this is hard.
Yeah.
Like, that, I need to see the raw footage of it.
Yeah.
Like, Alan was like, okay, can y'all go home now?
Yeah, so there's a ton of misses. They finally kind of figure out the mechanics of this, and they as a group, they kind of come down to like the key is not having to move the crossbow so much, right? And it moves left to right easier than it moves up and down, but let's try and like line up these columns or these rows and then just like hit people in a row. So they finally hit on that, and MJ hits Sheree, who honestly seems okay with it, is like kind of like celebrating. I'm like, all right, this is clearly like a group decision of like, here's how we're going to do it, right? And that comes back up later. So that's kind of important to know. Like, Sheree was cool with it because this is the strategy, right? And then now we start getting more hits. Phaedra hits Peter because he's right above Sheree in the center. CT hits Phaedra. Sheree hits MJ. MJ hits Sandra. So everyone's kind of hitting their own alliances here and everyone's in it for the team. And then like kind of CT is the next in line and they get really hung up on CT in the top left. And the position here is kind of important. He's in the top left. There's two to his right that are still open. That's John in the middle, Kate on the right. And then the only other one open is the total opposite on the bottom right, and that's Trishelle. So that's kind of the setup. The team, they say they lose $2,000 just trying to hit CT. So at some point, they got to switch it up. And then Phaedra comes up, and this is like the huge, like the biggest thing that's happened in maybe any of these challenges so far, is Phaedra decides to stop going for CT in the top left, but instead of just moving it to the right a little bit and going for John, which seemed like the group strategy, she goes totally to the opposite corner and goes for Trishelle. And Trishelle is fuming. Trishelle is pissed. She's like, she doesn't want me to get a shield. She's clearly a traitor. This is traitor behavior. And CT also picks up on it. And I thought this was interesting because...
CT on the scent.
And Cassandra also kind of recommended that Phaedra do this, which I thought was interesting. Like, Sandra, what is happening? Where did this thought come from? Because now CT is pointing to both Phaedra and Sandra as traitors.
Yeah.
Phaedra, I think, honestly didn't do it maliciously. I think she was like, okay, Sandra, good idea. She's very reactionary. She's not thinking ahead. She's thinking in the moment. But because she took Sandra's advice, now this is traitor behavior. She's trying to stop Trishelle from getting the shields. They end up hitting Trishelle's window. And then Kate hits Trishelle. Phaedra hits Kate. That leaves CT and John. And then CT hits John, leaving CT with the shield, and the team banks like 15K or something like that. But the big moment is Phaedra went against strategy and went specifically towards Trishelle.
Yeah. And that is the worst moment in her game, other than what Dan did. That was it.
That was it.
Look, I actually do think it was malicious of her. I think she hates Tristan. I think she hates
You think
girl.
It was on purpose?
I think low-key a little bit. Okay. I think she did not want her to have a shield. I think it didn't have to be CT. I don't think it was as thought out, but Phaedra's not bright. Like, right. I think she did not want Trishelle to be saved. And I don't know why Sandra said it. I do not understand. Like,
there's something we're missing. What was the deal? And maybe it was offhand, and maybe Sandra's more like, let's totally switch it up.
Yeah.
The bottom row has been easier to go for. And then Phaedra just clicked on like, ooh, and it's an opportunity. I don't know, but.
And it's that girl.
It put them both in the hot seat, specifically from CT and a couple others.
Yeah. And I think once CT is comfortable verbally saying your name, then yeah. I was like, oh, it's over.
That's tough.
Yeah.
CT now is a shield, and now we're back at the castle. I love these around the castle moments, though. Like, I find as I watch each episode and I'm like making my notes, I get more excited when I type at the top of the section around the castle, because that's when the moving and shaking happens. That's when the real conversations happen, like challenges, whatever. Breakfast is, you know, always fun because you get to see everybody's new looks for the day, but it's it is what it is. I love the around the castle moving and shaking, and a lot happens here. This is where we get like the big we were talking about before. It's mealtime. And there's dirty mac and cheese that Phaedra's very excited about. And Trishelle's very jealous because she can't eat dairy.
I was like, wait, what is this dinner? And they're also like all just eating everywhere. Like
all over the place.
Like, and I'm just like, wait, are we at dinner? Is it they just everybody just grabbing a snack? Are we grazing? What's happening?
For the first time they showed us like the buffet setup too. They like really went into it.
I love it. Show us the meal break. I appreciate this footage. I love it. So the Peter Pals have figured out that CT actually can't be persuaded, at least they don't think so quite yet, and they need to go for Sandra and MJ to try and get them on their side. So Sandra is all like, I'm going to listen to John. Literally, she says, I'm going to listen to roundtable arguments, looks at John and says, I'll know when you start talking to John. Or so, again, I'm like, wow, John is really the persuader here, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
Peter grabs Phaedra, pulls Phaedra away to leave space for Trishelle to come in behind and then try and win over the Bravo contingent while Peter is kind of distracting Phaedra. Trishelle comes in and joins like the Bravo group plus Sandra. It's clear it's come down to it's going to be either Peter or Phaedra at the vote. It's between the two of them at this point. And then Trishelle, I thought, really smartly leaning into maybe what she knows about how housewives operate, and she's like, well, if you guys all have blind loyalty to Phaedra, and MJ's like, I do not have blind loyalty. That is not how it works with me. And I'm like, okay, kind of effective.
That was smart. That was, I will give her that. I'll get yourself that one thing. She knew how, like, she knew that would bug MJ because it makes her seem like a sheep, right? It makes her seem like she just follows people.
Which is like what she doesn't want to be.
Not at all.
In the show.
Specifically her, because I think she watched season one and she said in like Watch Happens Live, like, I know where Reza went wrong and like how hard he played and how. So she really came in wanting to be strategic. So I think it just offended her. And good on Trishelle for knowing how to push buttons at the right time, because that was a button that needed to be pushed.
Wait, just speaking of iconic lines, MJ, when, you know, Trishelle, like when MJ's trying to be like, I'm not a sheep, she says, I didn't come here to win a personality contest with these ladies, which I feel is the I'm not here to make friends. I'm, you know, I'm here for the right reason.
It was a good line. It was a good line.
It was. Well, listen, so I had a moment where, so we're in the castle, it's after dinner. CT is kind of still on the Phaedra and Sandra of it all. And he's torn and he goes to Trishelle for her thoughts. And Trishelle is like, CT, let's go for Phaedra. And there was a moment where he's like, oh, this is really tough. I didn't come here for love, though. I came here to play a game, which I thought was hilarious. And then he tells Trishelle and they hug and he's like, let's do it. Let's go for it. Let's go for Phaedra. And I have to be honest, the way I felt, oh, the challengers are back together. They've squashed the beef. They're two faithfuls. And in this moment, that's where I was like, I'm team CT and Trishelle. I'm sorry, Phaedra, but I'm rooting for the faithful. That was the moment that crystallized, like, I want the faithfuls and I kind of hope CT's a part of them. I hope Sandra's in there. And if Trishelle's there because she's leading this charge, so be it, but I'm on the faithful side.
I obviously love Phaedra. I knew it was over episodes go with Dan. So she could have had a great game if she wasn't basically solidified by Dan, right?
Yeah. Once Trishel caught up, once I was like, oh my God, if Trishel is catching this.
And then CT's the final straw. Like CT has been like in the last roundtable, he's like, I'm not going to vote for somebody who saved me at the fire ceremony. Yeah. She saved me. I'm not going to vote for her. And now he's turned. That's a big thing you can't get back.
Now it's over. The thing is, once CT clocked it, like and he clocked it in the car ride home, I said it was over. Mm. Like before he even told Trishel, like he knows. And he was wrong about Sandra, but like he knows that the way Phaedra, and that's he's never gonna change his mind.
Yeah. So we're at the round table. Here we go.
Yeah.
And not only that, I mentioned this before, the lyrics shift.
Oh, they did?
It's not follow me down into the valley. It's he was a wicked devil in disguise. His body lies where flowers grow. I'm like, I don't know what that means, but they changed up the lyrics on us.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
What's going on? And this is where we also have the moment that went a little bit viral before the episode premiered, where Alan is like, I'm salivating at the prospect of tonight's roundtable. Like, they're really blowing this one up to be a big deal. And it was. It's an extended roundtable. It's like a full like 15, 20 minutes of the episode, which I think is great. MJ is torn going in. So the kind of teasing that she may be a swing vote down the line. Mm-hmm. Kate feels confident it's going to be Peter, even though she'll have some explaining to do when he reveals he's a faithful. And then John starts the discussion.
Wait, does John have a speechwriter?
I don't think so, but I think that man just lives to speechify.
Yeah.
But
can I tell you that I love how John delivers? I do. Does that not make us a little suspicious about all politicians, though? If you can hang with the best of them, if you can hang with our reality stars, should you be making our laws? I don't know. I don't know how they do in the parliament, but it just made me a little worried that he could go toe-to-toe with the best of them.
He does have some great lines here, though, if I could quote a few of them.
Oh, it's so good.
He turns to Phaedra. And he's like, first thing is two people banished, both named her as a traitor, but that could be here or there. But then he talks about like style of play. And I thought this was pretty compelling. He's like, in a game of skill, intuition, calculation, and maneuvering, Phaedra's game is just to avoid error. She is fly low Phaedra, noncommittal by day, but fatal under the cover of darkness. And then he also drops the, if I'm unsuccessful, I'll be voted out, which is how you know I was right. And then he says, you should be banished until eternity. Like, dude.
John, relax.
A little intense. Like, are we Marvel villain relax. At this point? Like, calm down.
It was so dramatic. But he did in that, he did say, I like you. Like, he said something where I was like, I like you. And I was like, that means you hated everybody else. That means you hated Parvati. Because you didn't even give her a plus.
Right.
But, like, it was so good.
But Phaedra, very quick with it. You're eloquent as hell, but this is not parliament and you could bring it down a notch and get to the point and we'd all really fucking appreciate it.
I mean, Phaedra was nonplussed.
Yes.
She was like, no. You think that's a read? Honey.
Yeah.
No.
And that's what it is. I think they don't watch Housewives. So coming for Phaedra in particular, her particular skill set, the only person that is equal is Kenya? Maybe Vicky because she's wild. Like, there's no one else who could take you down like Phaedra. So, honestly, John is a brave man. Because it's not the first. Like, he's seen her annihilate someone else. So, he's going in knowing that he could leave crying. So, good on him for being brave. Also, he was right.
Yeah.
So, I let it go.
Yeah.
When they're right, I'm like, I hate you, but you're right.
Yeah. Phaedra does come back, though. She talks about, well, Peter was in collusion with the last two traitors. What does that say about your number one faithful? And why aren't you talking about that? And also, by the way, Peter wants to work with me now. And there's these backroom shady deals. And Peter's like, there's nothing wrong with private conversations in a game literally called The Traitors. And then we get the Phaedra trailer moment finally happens. This is not The Bachelor. I do not have to kiss your ass for a rose.
Oh! My God, that
she took him out. She took him out a little bit with that.
A little bit.
He did that nervous chuckle. He said, "Ha ha!" Yeah. Like he was hurt. He knew that line ate. Like he knew that line. He was like, "That's gonna be in the promo. Like people are gonna make fun of me. Like I'm not. They're gonna be Pilot Pete sucks." Like he saw the future of what that line could do. But also, my one issue with Pete in that I genuinely think he got his feelings hurt when Phaedra ate him up. Like, it wasn't that he line, did. But from the other lines, like, he was like, how dare you say I play this game selfishly? He was like, I used to like you, so now you don't?
Like, literally, what? He's like, I liked you up. You may be a traitor, but I liked you up until this moment, and now my feelings are hurt, literally.
Oh, my God. Like, get over it. I was like, come on, Pete. Y'all get very sad very quickly.
And then CT gets very strategic. Challenge CT. He like literally takes his voting chalk and draws a diagram on his vote board. And I'm like, this is next level. This is incredible. And he calls back to the challenge and he shows like the three boxes at the top. And I was over here and Trishelle was way down here. If you're missing me at the top left, why wouldn't you just move right over? But Phaedra went all the way down to the opposite side and went for Trishelle. That's traitor behavior. Trishelle jumps in and adds to this argument, talking about John and Kevin wanted Phaedra gone, and then you murdered Kevin, and then you wanted me gone, so you stopped me from getting the shields. And again, I'm like, pretty compelling.
I just wrote down, I was like, oh, I just can't have Trishelle be right. And like, she was.
I know.
But you know what? Just thinking back to the strategy from the game, what they should have done, because like, and I know that she didn't want Trishelle to get a shield. I think that Trishelle still wouldn't have gotten a shield. It always would have been CT, because if you just gone over just a little bit, you get John. You go over just a little bit more, you get Kate. And then it's like, we were really fucking up trying to get a CT.
You either go left or down.
Like, let's just go down and we'll get Trishelle. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's how it should have gone.
Yeah.
I mean, she still might have been out.
Agreed.
But
can we talk about her face, though? When she realized that CT was turning on her in that moment, she looked so hurt. Phaedra, like, I think it really came out. I think she was ready to purr everybody else, but she wasn't ready for him, which is why he got no lines. So I would think she legit was caught off guard. And I think she knew that, like, it was like, I don't know what to say to this man. Like,
yeah.
So, like, she didn't even rebut him. She didn't even say anything back to him. She just moved on to Trishelle.
Well, we've learned that the edit we get is not always what happens. So she very well could have, and we just may not have seen it. And I'm very, wait for this reunion. I'll tell you what, this reunion is going to be incredible.
It's great.
That's going to be so good.
Especially because there's no normal people crying. Oh, they were there crying on my reunion. I said, Andy, get them out of your house. Go away. Oh my God, I would have trusted you. Get off my TV. I was so annoyed. I can't wait for real people to be in reunion. I do not like any of them. That's why none of them are breakout stars. No one. Go away.
No. Mm-hmm. Amir, I'm excited for you to watch UK because it's all civilians. It's all normals, which works. You can't have the mix. The mix is will never work again. They can't do the mix. So the last word before we get to the vote is that MJ is on the fence and does not know how to trust. So we get to the vote. Peter gets 4. Sandra.
Including Phaedra's very stylized.
Yes.
Peter on her.
She always
on her
does it. Board. Yeah. Sandra, Sheree, Kate, and Phaedra's. And then Phaedra gets 4 votes. Peter, John, Trishelle, and CT in a big turn from the last episode, which leaves MJ as the deciding vote. I did try to pause and enhance and zoom in to see if I could see what it said before she turned it. I could not. She writes very small.
Yeah.
We have a cliffhanger. We do not know who is getting banished.
How can they leave us like this, you guys, knowing that we have to wait a whole week? Like, this is...
I know. So effective, though. I'm itching.
So effective.
I have to know.
Yeah.
Because it really could go either way.
So after 9 episodes, our traitors are now Phaedra and Kate. Kate has been successfully recruited. We've murdered Bergy and Kevin. We've banished Parvati and either Phaedra or Peter. We're not sure which. That's the cliffhanger. And the total cash up for grabs is now about $129,750.
Such a pittance.
Yeah.
Time for our BFF roundup. We're going to talk about the best move by a traitor in these 2 episodes, our favorite faithful in these 2 episodes, and the moment you'll remember forever from these episodes. So let's start with the best move by a traitor. This was tough for me. Not a lot of obvious successful traitor moves. I mean, you could say like recruiting Kate, I guess, if you agree with that.
Yeah.
I kind of don't.
The only good move, and I think it's in episode 8, so hopefully it's not before that, is when Phaedra plays her tea time really well, right? Mm-hmm. When she released the tea about Pete having secret meetings with Parv.
Yes, with her and Parv.
It was timed really well. Because now, no matter what, even if people don't think he's a traitor, they think he's playing a wild game. That doesn't help them. So it got more people on his. I think that was very that was timed really, really well, really well in her traitor part. So I don't know how much it helped her, but
we'll see. I would say similarly, I chose Kate turning it around post breakfast because she came in so off kilter and nervous at breakfast. But by the time we got to the round table, she was like back into old Kate, you know, like
agreed.
Yes, anding other people's arguments, coming after Peter very effectively. I'm like, okay, Kate, got yourself together. I think that was probably the best individual traitor move, was getting past the nerves and like playing well again by the end of the episode.
Definitely.
I also think that Phaedra's reads on both John and Peter, just like her, like, even though I do think that she probably is going to end up being banished, she is so cool under pressure. Do you know? Like, she just read them like so easily, and like it was just like no sweat off her back. Like, why would you ever say that?
Yeah.
You know, like, she's good.
Favorite faithful?
CT.
Oh, I am tied between MJ and CT, and I actually think one of them or Sandra are gonna take it. Like, I think a faith, if they don't get recruited, a faithful will win, but only one of those three. CT is great. He's playing this game so well, and he even turned on her at the right time.
Yeah.
MJ, I think, plays dumber than she is. And I know Sandra is playing dumber than she is.
Yeah.
But I think MJ came to play. They don't see her as a player. So she's not going to get banished for no reason because they're not defensive. And what vote she'll have, we'll see if she really picks up on things.
I would be very happy with a CT Sandra MJ win. How likely, we'll get into that. I will say CT, though, I think he's just so locked in, is not willing to let personal relationships get in the way, is pivoting at the exact right time. I think CT takes it for me as well.
And we should have known that he doesn't let personal relationships get in the way, because like he didn't pick Drizella last time. And like that was a whole thing. But then like look how he got her right back on his side. Right back on his side.
Drizella is forcing that friendship. Y'all have known each other for 20 years. Y'all have never been cool.
Ever. Why? Like, I was like, am I missing something?
They've like, and she even says it. She's like, I didn't really get it. Y'all have never been cool.
No.
What we skipped out on, though, what Dan took from us is Johnny and CT playing this game together. Mm-hmm. Like, that would have been different. Trishelle, you're forcing it. You are not the challenge duo that any of us asked for.
Yes.
Like, that was not your best friend. Right. Like, do y'all even talk? I know they have group chats. Y'all are not the same group chats.
No.
Like, you're forcing this. So, like, he didn't want to make her sad. I think he was sad about making someone sad.
Yeah. But he's like, we have literally not hung out since we did the spring break tour in 2007.
Exactly. He's more aligned with Phaedra, and he just met this lady.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
So stop making him feel bad. That's not your friend.
Yeah. My favorite category, what's the moment you'll remember forever from these two episodes?
Duchess of Deception, Mistress of Murder.
Same.
I love that. I so badly want to make that a caption on Instagram, but I don't think enough people will watch the show and know I'm not going crazy. That line is just iconic, but also the fact that they made all the Bravo girlies dirty. They made those women who spend thousands. You know how much their hair and makeup was for that day, even though they know we're going in the wilderness?
Right.
They put roaches and things that fly and pee on them. That'll never happen again. Oh, I know Andy is mad that he didn't get to see that in person. Like, I know that he's upset that they didn't do that. They should do that at reunions. Whenever someone speaks over Andy, they should drop cockroaches on them. Like, drop deer pee on them. Just a thought.
That's incredible. Wow. Predictions. We started to talk about this before. We can now really get into it. Our last little segment here. Here's what I think. Because I don't, as much as I am rooting for, it's tough because like I really don't like Peter, but I like this movement towards getting Phaedra out. I think that at the end of the day, MJ is going to stay loyal and vote Peter out. So I think Peter gets banished.
Wow.
But then the next murder will be either John or Trishelle if Peter gets banished, right? So then it's really, it will come down to a Bravo Civil War, I think, which would be phenomenally entertaining.
That's good show.
Because, yes, because then what happens is CT is now like, fuck, Peter was a faithful. It is Phaedra. Mm-hmm. He's going to flip MJ and maybe Sandra if Sandra also sees the light and is like, fuck, I was wrong too. CT, I'm with you. So we can get like a CT, like we were talking about, a CT MJ Sandra flip of the board. Now it becomes, is Kate going to ride this out? Can Kate maneuver her way to a victory? I don't know if they let her recruit this late in the game. I don't know what happens there, but I like the idea of getting this Phaedra vote wrong and then that being the big move towards, like, the big inciting incident to move us towards these last couple episodes and really shake things up, especially in that Bravo faction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I would love it if it's that. And again, I feel like I've been spoiled by the marketing more than the show, right? Like, because I want nothing more for Phaedra to make it. But also, like, I really do think MJ, when I think they purposely left MJ's line there in for us, right? She is open to changing. She is open to be, you can convince me. Mm-hmm. And I do think John was convincing. It sucks, but John was convincing.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
And everybody listens to John. I think that's also what we've learned. Like, so yeah. John is probably the most dangerous faithful.
And now, and it's now, it's not like it's Dan bringing this up for the first time. There's now been argument, action, things have transpired. So there's been enough in the groundwater where it's starting to get to that point of no return. It's like, shit, they're going to get Phaedra.
Yeah. I mean, both Parvati and Dan outed Phaedra.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. The real question is, does Kate have what it takes to deceive her way to the ends? Can Kate?
Oh, she's going to get another one.
Well, but is she though? Like, if
it's too early in the season. Well, what episode?
Too
actually,
early.
We're on episode 9 already.
Episode 9.
Why are there so many people still here? I'm sorry. It's so confusing. Why are there so many faithfuls still here?
I don't know if they'll let her recruit one more because, and I may be confused about this because I've seen conflicting reports and we were also talking about this on the chat chain, Brandy. How many episodes are actually left? Nobody really knows.
Does still feel like there's
two
a lot
people
on
episode.
But that's why I love the traitors though, because in an instant it's like, oh, someone's banished and then someone's murdered and all of a sudden we're down two.
Because in the beginning, they were dropping like flies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll do it. I think that's a wrap on this recap of Traitors Season 2, Episodes 8 and 9. Amir Liwali, thank you so much for coming on. This is so, so fun. What have you been up to? What are you doing in the TV world these days? Where can people find you? All that good stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm obviously watching way too much TV. So that's like, honestly, that's only so I do my job. It's an excuse to say it's competition I'm looking. I spend most of my time watching TV. I also launched a new podcast called Bridal Mess that goes over the messiest things in bridal. I got married last year, so I've been obsessed with the world. And I heard a lot of tea, so I have no tips, but tons of tea and gossip that I share on
there. It's an amazing podcast.
Thanks, bi-weekly.
Very funny.
And then I'm still producing. I do a lot of docs and some returnable series on A&E. I always like bug Brandy on the history side, but yeah, so it's fun things. I'll drop it on my Instagram for Bridal Mess. It's Bridal Mess Podcast on Insta. So follow us for some tea.
Definitely check that out. Check out the next episodes of The Traitors. We'll be back. We can reveal we are having Darren Karp on the podcast for the finale episode. Andy Cohen's assistant and right-hand woman. She may even be at the reunion, so we can give us some tea on what isn't shown when it's eventually aired. So we'll have lots of good stuff. Definitely come back for our big, probably supersized finale and reunion recap in a couple weeks. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
That's so cute. I love that.
You've arrived here at the critical moment.